Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. Good to be back on another Thursday in the DMV. Looking outside before we got online and still had a little bit of daylight outside. So, praise God. The days are getting a little longer and we're going to enjoy the season of spring and summer. We're going to thank the Lord for being faithful with his seasons. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., we again are thankful for the word of God as we go through the book of Acts. And we're in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. And we're seeing Paul's journey back to Jerusalem. Where he started was sent out and history of the church and how on his missionary journeys he planted and established some churches. And so on his way back to Jerusalem, his last journey back of all of the people he met along the way, we talked about last week and how they encouraged and they had fellowship and they in their understanding that the journey wasn't always going to be easy, that they were comforted by each other, they were encouraged by each other, and they would pray with each other. And we were talking about how that type of ministry and fellowship and encouragement is so important for us today. And I know we had talked about how we ministered to each other when our family members were ill and when they were going through their transition of their last journey, and how important it was for people to come alongside in whatever area or whatever state of our lives or ministry. And we all need encouragement, we all need a prayer, and we all need somebody to be able to get a prayer through on our behalf. And later on in this section, we're going to see there was an older disciple that Paul's going to come across and encourage him. And no matter what age, and so I tell people, no matter what age you are, sometimes people get older and think that their ministry is not as relevant. And then sometimes people who are younger think that their ministry is not as relevant. But whatever age you are, whatever stage you are, God will use you. And God will use you at whatever age or whatever station you are in life. So be encouraged that God is not finished with you, and that God is still using you to help others to his glory. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And as you were saying that, you know, I was thinking about how sometimes we forget that we're not on this journey alone, that we have our personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but God puts people there around us to fellowship with us and to pray with us, and that gives us encouragement. You know, the situation with our brother's wife that we found out today, and immediately when she wasn't feeling well, she sent a message to me and Tawana to say, pray for her, here's the situation. And that's Holy Ghost boldness to say that I'm going through something. I trust the Lord. I have faith, but I need someone to intercede on my behalf. And like you said, how long you've been in the ministry, we should not have that pride. Well, I should be able to have enough faith to handle this on my own. No, you should have enough faith to know that God's going to give you what you need, even if it means going through someone else.
Amen. It's really important to be able to have that prayer on one accord. I go back to the beginning of the book of Acts, Dr. G., where the church was birthed, and they were in one place on one accord. And that allows the Holy Spirit to move through the individuals and to have his will be done, and then get there through being on one accord and being in prayer. And when you start to realize that, what happens is that gives you further encouragement that God will help you through whatever the situation is, whether it's sickness, whether it's a struggle, whether it's something on your job or in your family. But when you're on one accord and the people that are around you are on one accord, we understand that there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, there's going to be situations, good, bad, and ugly. But if we can get on one accord and go to the Lord in prayer, we can all be assured that God's will is going to be done. And this is what Paul is going to talk to us about a little bit later when we study this chapter. Paul is letting them know that God's will is going to be done. We just need to get on one accord and trust God to help us through this thing. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And that's it. Especially in this day and time, that seems to be one of the hardest things to do, is to get folks to be on one accord. Everybody has their own agenda. And no one really wants to, you know, be about what God wants. But if you can ever get folk, you know, all together on one accord, and then praying, that's the key. Miracles can be done.
Jill G., you want to chime in on that?
No, the key is the prayer, is praying. That is one way to get on one accord, is to make our requests known unto God, but also to share with each other so that we're all praying for the same thing, for God's will to be done in our lives. That will put you on one accord. And then we can see the blessings when it does appear and manifest itself in somebody else's life, because you've been praying for that person, you shared that, and then happen, then that just encourages everybody to put their trust in God and not in man.
Amen. And Jesus not only taught his disciples to pray, but he also prayed himself. And you know, that's one of the keys that he taught his disciples. He let them know that, you know, this is what you need to pray. You don't need to have this fashion, form, or show. But when you pray, you know, just say, "Our Father, which art in heaven," and there's some basic things that you do in prayer. And like you were saying, Dr. G, if you get on one accord in prayer, and in Jesus' prayer, he's saying, you know, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when he says that, what happens is we begin to focus on the Lord, and we begin to focus on his will. And when we have that focus on the Lord and his will, then what happens is the Holy Spirit can guide us, can minister to us, we can minister to each other, that the Lord's will be done. But too many times we stay away from that thing, and it's not an easy thing to see people go astray because they're not on one accord. And I believe it was I call it the fifth chapter, but it's the sixth chapter of Matthew. I want to look at the Lord's Prayer, the fifth verse, when he starts his prayer. If you look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, and verse 5, and I'm going to read part of this in the King James. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Then he says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In other words, you know, it's a man thing, and they want to be seen of men. So their reward is not answered prayer, but their reward is that they got their ego boosted for man. And so we have to be careful when we pray that we're not praying for, you know, our own ego, because you're not going to receive anything of the Lord. You're just going to get a pat on the back from man. And too many times in ministry and churches, people are praying, and they're just trying to pray to impress each other. And you see that a lot of times in churches, you're just trying to impress each other. The churches are trying to, and people are trying to impress each other. And so you're not receiving a blessing from the Lord. You're just receiving blessing and praises from man. And we have to be careful of that, because that's not on one accord for the Lord. That's on one accord for man, for what man can do. And you basically run it in a circle. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's interesting that you would say that, because what I used to have the kids do before we would leave the house is to actually say the Lord's Prayer. And
yeah.
I remember my son Aaron, as he got older, he told me that he never understood it, because I could be fussing at them, not getting dressed, not getting ready, can't find stuff, trying to get all the kids together, and he'd be ready to call his dad just to say this, and the one, they'd be fussing and fighting. But before we got out, I had everybody get together, and everybody would say the Lord's Prayer, and then as we would leave, we would say, "Love you." It's like, how could you do all that fussing, screaming, hollering, everybody fighting, pulling us together, and then you go stop and pray? Well, that is why, because of what you said. Our focus off of the demons that were running around that house trying to get stuff started, and focus on the Lord, so that by the time they got out and we went to work and we got on traffic or whatever, the focus would be re-put back on God, and it would be like that old commercial. A lot of people probably don't remember it, the cream of wheat commercial where the bowl was falling behind the kids. that Lord's Prayer followed it. So the last thing that came out as we left that house was the Lord's Prayer, as well as "I love you."
Amen. And we used to do that at 7216 also, with our parents' house. But Dr. G, this is the awesome thing that I like to people to understand about this prayer is when you look at verse 8, and this is one of those, you know, things that you really look at and think about why we should pray. And if you look at, oh man, I think I lost him. I try to get him back. But if you look at that thing in chapter, this is Matthew, we're talking about prayer, Matthew 6, and you look at that thing in verse 8, it's powerful to let us know that in prayer, there's something that God has already done. And so in Matthew 6, verse 8, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the reason why he says that, I read verse 9. If you go back to verse 8, he says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So this is critical to prayer, is like what you were saying, Sheila G, is that we would get on one accord, and we would, in spite of all that was going on, we would get focused in on God. And the thing is, when we get focused in on God, we understand that God already knows what we need. And so when we go forward out of the house or wherever we're going, we already know that God knows what we need. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going to come against. And so the thing is for us to get focused, to be able to listen to God, and I'm going to slow down here, to be able to listen to God, because he's going to direct our path through our day. So what prayer does is help us to focus so we can listen to God, because God already knows. And Dr. G, when we pray, we're praying on one accord to the Lord so that we can get instructions for the rest of the day or for whatever the situation is, trusting God that he already knows. God already knows. God knows what's going to happen in the next moment, the next year, the next day. And so when we pray, we get on one accord. This is allowing us to say, tune all this other stuff out. Earlier in this chapter, it talks about go to your closet and pray. But God already knows what you need before you ask it. And when we have that understanding, Dr. G, that God already knows, we just need to settle in, not in the drama of the house or whatever going on, and settle in and say, God, you know what I need. Give me this day my daily bread. Direct me so I can do the things that are pleasing in your sight, because I know you already know, so I'm not going to get too high, too low, or what the day is going to bring, because I already know you know what I need even before I got to this point where I'm asking. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, when you're praying, especially, you know, before Jessica and I started riding together, I used to pray in the car just before I would pull off. And, you know, it was a prayer where, you know, we were asking the Lord to protect us and take us to our destination, that, you know, we might be about a good work for him. Then once she started riding with me, we started keeping it. You know, I'd have her pray. And to show you how good the Lord is, now, she prayed this morning, and darn the prayer didn't protect us on the beltway, because some people beside me, I didn't even see him, don't know where he came from, and if I hadn't reacted quick enough, no, she might have been calling praying for Jesse and I in the hospital. But prayer, like you said, you know, God already knows what we need even before. So he wants to see if we have enough faith that we're going to slow down, stop everything that we're doing, and take some time to reach out to him so that we might be in contact with him and be on the same wavelength that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that on a regular basis, it's amazing what God will do.
Amen. That's shouting stuff right there, Sheila G.
Amen. Yes, it is. And I think that's what God wants us to get back, our focus back on, the power of prayer. You know, there were so many books that we used to read back in the day talking about the power of prayer. And I remember reading a book of The Power of Praying Woman. But I think we've gotten away from that, you know, because we have everything so digital, touched here, touched that there, that we don't take that time to really make our requests known unto God. And we have to be really open about it. You know, the Lord revealed, spoke to me a few weeks ago about having, like back in the day, a prayer request box. And we, where people, it was just a box where people write it down and put it in the box. We'd pray as altar call, but then pastor would pray over during the week. Well, this past Sunday, first Sunday, and amazingly, You know, this is totally walking by faith. We didn't know how many people would actually really write something on the card and put it in that prayer request box. Well, quite a few mm-hmm. people did. We prayed, and on Wednesday, we got praise reports about some of those prayers being answered. And that is because, and now it's being revealed through Bible study today, God wanted, mm-hmm. directed us to do that because he wanted the focus to be back on prayer. Because when you write it down, write stuff down, and you make an effort to put it in there, that is really faith and committing it to your mind and making that commitment to the Lord. Then you have the corporate prayer of the church, then the pastor praying mm-hmm. during the week. You know, when God revealed that for us to do that, we didn't know why, but now he's letting us know why.
Amen. And like I said, that's shouting stuff right there. When you know God knows what you need and you're on one accord, and then he provides that need, oh, my gosh, it's an awesome thing. And like you said, I mean, that's a walk of faith, and what happens when it manifests and it strengthens your faith. And so when our faith is strengthened, what happens is we become yielded vessels unto the Lord. Then what happens is our light begins to shine, and the light of God shining within us begins to start witnessing to other people. Because in difficult situations, we're trusting the Lord. We're not falling apart. We're not woe is me, but we're standing as bold soldiers for Christ, and other people are seeing the light, and the Bible says that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And so let's look a little further in this chapter, Matthew chapter 6, and see what he's saying. I want to look at verse 10, Matthew 6, verse 10. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so that's the focus. The focus is the kingdom of God, the will of God, and that it will be done as it is in heaven. And the blueprint that Moses received, and the blueprint that we receive for our lives and our ministry, has already been designed by God in heaven. In other words, God has the original, and he gives us the blueprint of how it's supposed to be carried out. And so when we get on that one accord and we start seeking the kingdom of God and the will of God, then what happens is it allows us to settle in on verse 11. And he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we learn to begin to start living daily for the Lord. And like you said, Sheila G, start making an appointment daily to get our mm-hmm. daily bread. And he says daily, not that you're sitting down and you're getting 3 days in advance. not, but you're getting it daily. In other words, we're trusting God that on a daily basis, we're going to come talk to him, get on the same page on a daily basis. And I think, like you said, sometimes we go 2, 3, 4 days. Some people go weeks at a time without getting that daily bread, without getting that bread that you need to be spiritually fed on a daily basis. So people are walking around, what was that term? Hangry?
Yeah.
Then you're hungry and angry at the same time. And so you have too many hangry Christians that are spiritually hungry and angry because they're not getting with God and they're not getting that daily bread. And God said, "I know exactly what you need. All you need to do is come to me and I'm going to give you that daily bread, that you'll be able to feast on me, and you'll be able to handle the situations that's coming this day. I already know what you need. Get some of this bread."
Yeah.
Then you'll understand how to handle my will, and you'll understand what the blueprint is that I know about for the kingdom, and you'll be all right for that day. But too many times we're spiritually hangry because we're not getting the daily bread in prayer with the Lord. Sheila G.
And the key to that is we have to be open to God's will. And we have to understand that God's will and our will are not the same thing because our will is based off the flesh.
Amen. Say that again. Hold on. Say that again.
Our will is. our will and God's will are not the same thing.
Amen.
Because our will is based off the flesh, what we see, what we touch, what we feel, how what we fit, what mood we're in. Our will change from day to day. God's will is consistently the same every day. So we have to be open to God's will and not our own will. And the way to do that is to walk with him every day, talk to him every day. Do not, because our will may be, you know what, Lord, I am not happy with this situation, so I'm mad at you today,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not. Well, God says, be mad at the situation, but talk to me. If you talk to me,
yeah.
I can peace. I can show you. I have a plan for your life. You may not understand it right now. You may be in an unhappy situation or a strange situation. But if you talk to me every day, I'll let you know that you're not alone. I'll give you the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. But you're too busy trying to do your own will instead of being my will, if it's open to my will, and you have to do it every day because Satan is on his job 24/7. Satan ain't going to skip a day. He's not going to say, she's not in the mood today, so I'm just going to leave her alone. No, when you're in the mood, he's going to come after you. But when you put your will and you follow and you're open to God's will and not our own will, then when Satan may come at you, he may weep and may endure for a night. He'll make your enemy your footstool. You may be more than a conqueror as a pastor, priest. And you say you're more than a conqueror because you have to conquer it. But we cannot conquer it in our own will. We can only conquer it by following God's will. And we only know his will every day. And that's faith because we don't know exactly what the plan is. Because if we depend on ourselves, depending on the day, we may wobble one way or the next.
Come on now.
Different way, but God is consistent, the same. And by reaching out and feeding every day, feeding devotions, feeding that word into our system every day will help us to go through it and grow through it.
Amen. Dr. G, help me about these hangry Christians. Help me out here.
Well, that's a big part of what's wrong with folks now. We live in the midst of a people who are just not serious about their walk with Christ. One of the things that we've been really pushing and trying to get folk to understand is that, especially during COVID, is that even though we may not be in the church building, but, you know, we can still have the joy of the Lord if we trust, if we put our faith in him. You know, no, God never said that every day is going to be Sunday. He never said that we're going to have an easy way of life. But he did say, I'll be with you every step of the
way.
Yes,
he did. Yes, he did.
A few folks to the point now, because I had one that called on Wednesday night. This is about the second week where she said that, you know, since I've been walking with the Lord and with you all, I've learned how to be happy. Do I get everything that I want? No. But I'm still happy in the Lord. And when we are happy in the Lord, we understand that it's not about us. It's not about what we want. You know, it's all about what God's will is. But as Sheila was saying, we've got to get out of that habit of what we want. And then if we don't get it, then we get hangry. You know, part of what the Lord said in the Word too is that, you know, wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, be of good courage. But too often we want to get, as you said, hangry, and then we want to go on, we're going to do it our way, but yet the Lord is still there. God has never stopped loving us, and he does not ever.
Amen. That's powerful. When God says he going to give you your daily bread, that means God knows what you need, and he knows when to give it to you and how to give it to you. And when we begin to start trusting God for our daily bread, Lord have mercy, that means day by day, we can't take it. There was an older Christian that when we first got into ministry, he would say, one day at a time. It's like it's so simple.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, you can only live one day at a time.
Amen.
And according to God's will, God knows that our days are numbered.
Yes.
In other words, God knows your beginning and God knows your ending.
Yep.
And because he knows what's, I'm getting ready to shout in here in a second. He knows what's best for us. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. God knows what's best for us. Whether we believe it or not, because our days are numbered, he knows our uprising, he knows our downsetting. God knows what's best for us, and God will give us daily, all the days of our life, exactly what we need.
That's right.
Too many times we won't go and we don't want to eat with God. I remember we used to have stuff and we didn't like it. Mama said, well, you just going to starve,
right.
And eventually you going to eat. We were weaning our children off of the bottle, we would give them a sippy cup. They get mad and upset because they wanted that bottle. And we said, well, we're going to give you this sippy cup, and you get hungry enough, you're going to sip it. You'll figure it out. And you'll take this milk in this cup instead of this bottle. But too many times, we won't stay on the pablum. We won't stay on the bottle. And God said, I need you to get stronger. I need you to get weaned off of this. There's too many Christians on the bottom. And God said, I need you to learn how to get some meat, some teeth, some serious, some maturity, and get this bread that I'm giving you. This bread is for mature Christians, but we want to stay on the pablum. We need to be weaned off, as Mom used to say, you need to be weaned off the ninny jug.
Yeah.
But too many times we want to stay on the ninny jug. But God said, I'm going to give you this bread daily, and it's for your spiritual growth. Help me out, you. I'm going to run around here real quick.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying. Dude, we're all going to go through it. We're all going to go through it. Stuff's going to come our way. Things are going to happen to us. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to go through it. But it is up to us to grow through it, to get off of that bottle. So we have to make up in our mind, Lord, I'm going to go through this, but I'm going to grow through this. I'm going to learn through this. And the only way we can grow through it is, one, to trust him. The best way to trust him is to get to know him. In order to get to know him, we need church, we need Bible study, we need prayer service,
mm-hmm.
and we need our daily private time with the Lord.
There you go.
And that is how, because you're going to go through it. You're going that you have no, this world is full of sin. So we're going to go through it, but we have to choose to grow through it and come out as pure gold. But the only way we can do that is to have our faith and our trust in God regardless of the situation.
Amen. That daily bread is powerful. So that's just a little, reflecting on prayer that Paul and his disciples use for their faith and their encouragement in the book of Acts, first century church, is prayer was prevalent, that they would use this to encourage each other and to help them to continue to do the will of the Lord, because they came up against some great challenges. It would have been easier for them to say, nah, we ain't doing that, man. We can't do that. But because of their daily prayer and fellowship with each other and the Lord, they were able to continue on as the first century church. And as the 21st century church today, we need to take this example of the teaching of Jesus in Matthew, the 6th chapter, about prayer. And then as we transition here to the 21st book of Acts, and we look at verse 5, Paul was continuing his journey, and he was getting ready to say goodbye to the folks where he was at in Cyprus. And before he left, they knelt down and prayed. So if we go transition back to Acts 21 and verse 5, and I'll be reading NIV, he says, when it was time to leave, we left and continued our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we but knelt to pray. And again, going on the journey, again, all of them on one accord, women, men, children, disciples, praying. And this is that part of that, what we need, that daily bread and prayer. And in verse 6, it says, after saying goodbye to each other, they went aboard the ship, and they returned home. So everyone understood what the plan was. They went on the ship, and they went back to their houses and continued their journey. And when we look at this return back home, what I see here, Sheila G and Dr. G, is, you know, you have to continue to live outside of church or corporate worship or corporate prayer. In other words, after you've prayed, after you've been to the mountaintop, after you've had an awesome worship service, you got to go back home and you got to live. It's not a thing of where you're going to stay in prayer and worship and in that mode. Life is life, and you still got to cook, you still got to clean, you still got to go to work, you still got to do all of the things that you normally do. But the prayer is what gives you it's like the filling station. You're filling up, and you're able to carry these things out, even though there's going to be challenges, even though back in Matthew where he's saying, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's going to be problems where people are going to do stuff to you, and you have to forgive and be forgiven. So after they prayed, they went back home. In other words, they got the plan, they got the word, they got on one accord, and then they had to go live this thing. And right. Sometimes that's the difficult part is you got to go back home. After you left church, you got to go back home. And sometimes on your way home, stuff pop off. Help me out, Sheila.
Amen. And that's what I was talking about last week, that it was really, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but every time you read different scriptures, God reveals different things to you. And what he revealed to me in this particular scripture was our church, why God structured the church program mm-hmm. or format the way he did. The benediction, this is the benediction at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Where in the service, where we pray, now unto him. I always get it all mixed up, so I'm not going to say the whole thing. But that's able to keep us from falling, right? So we're saying, mm-hmm. okay, we had a high time of the Lord. We've come to that filling station. We're we got the gas, but let's pray before we walk out of here, because Satan is sitting there tapping his foot, ready to flip things over. And that is why it's important for us to stress to our members to say that the benediction is a very important part of that end of service, because we're getting ready to leave that corporate Christian togetherness fellowship and go out into the faithful world. And we need that bowl of cream of wheat to follow us.
Amen. Like you said, you got to go back home, and that's, like you said, Satan's tapping his foot. Yeah, they ain't they praising God, but they got to go back home. And so that benediction in June 24th is now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. With exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And he says, amen. But after that, amen, you got to go back home. You got to live with that man. You got to, somebody ought to say, man, amen. You have to live with that woman. You got to live with that joker on your job. You got to live with that neighbor. You got to live with them cheering. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You got to live with that ache. You got to live with that pain. You got to live with that disappointment. Come on now. but know this, God still knows exactly what you need. Amen. Help me out, Dr. G. Got to go back home.
Well, you know, you hit on a good thing. I'm going to share this funny with you. Because last Sunday, we were getting ready to go out headed for church. And my tire on my Jeep passenger side said it needed air. So, okay, we go get the air inflator, put air in the tire. So that made us late. So Sheila had reached out to other folk and let them know that, you know, we're running a little late, but we'll be there. Well, lo and behold, Everybody had an issue. Everybody got there late. So we couldn't do a full-blown Sunday school, so Sheila just did you know, a review. And had a high time, and then, you know, we shared with them what was going on. And during service, you know, you could tell that everybody was going through something. And the spirit got then with the prayer box, you know, people were running up, putting their prayers in. And like you said, then afterwards, you know, we pronounced the benediction. Folk had to go home. But through all of that, and that's why it's important that they get back on that prayer line, whatever day you got it, then the Bible study line. Because when you have to go back home from where you left off on Sunday, that will carry you through Wednesday or whatever and Thursday because the devil knows, okay, they got to come out sooner or later. And I'm just going to sit here and wait. And as soon as a lot of folks get out the church doors, they back to fussing and cussing one another out. But see, that's why it's important that you keep the, you know, you got to keep that prayer going. You got to stay focused on the Lord. Because Satan knows, just like the Lord knows about it, Satan knows how to push those buttons. And he will push those buttons, say, all right, well, he's coming home. It's just a matter of time. And bam, he will get you quit, and you won't even know what hit you.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
Settle down. That's what we tell folk. Look, don't get all caught up. If you've got to separate, separate. One go in one room, one go in the other room, and let the Lord speak to your heart. Had one lady come on, and she was saying, because I had told her before, that, you know, you're going to have to get to the point, you're going to have to cut some of those family members and those friends who knew you back when, because they don't mean good. She got on Wednesday and was confessing that it happened. Soon as she got to church, the devil but she remembered what I had been putting in her ear. And the thing is, like you said, you know, we've always got to go back home. And there are some families that remember you when. And Satan will cause them to bring up all that junk from the past. So it's important that we carry the Lord from where we are on Sunday back to the house.
Amen. 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 Sheila, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'm just saying, because like I said, this was sitting there tapping his foot, just tapping his foot. And but I, you know, I had the 10-second rule that I had to put in for myself because, as you know, growing up, I would fly off in a minute. So I learned that to keep my emotions in control is I do that 10-second hesitation, whether it be work, whether it be the children, especially with the kids, whether it be the husband or even sometimes in the church. It's like, these people are crazy. But I learned that 10-second rule to not let that side come out because Satan loves his job, and he's always there. And the only way to do it is that's why God put in that word, Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. Because if you don't come armored up, he's going to come at you. And the only part that's not covered is the back, because Satan's like, I mean, God is like, you got to go through this. Now, you can either go through it using your armor or not, but either way, you can't turn and run because it's going to follow you. So we have to stay in that prayer, stay prayed up, take the 10-second rule and say, I feel like this, but let me clamp it down. Come on, Holy Spirit, fight my battle. And we have to make a conscious effort to do that. And you don't do that until know how to do that unless you have that relationship with him, both through corporate prayer and corporate spiritual growth, but also personal prayer and spiritual growth.
Amen.
Amen, amen. I like that about that arm. You can put that armor on because you got to go back home, Lord. Have mercy. And the 10-second rule, we can go home and, you know, work hard all day and been in worship, had a high time with the Lord, and you can't even get in, foot in the door. Spirit, Antichrist jumping up, acting up, no act right. And you back home, And next thing you know, you done had a hard time with the Lord. Now you cussing somebody out. I said, where in the world did that come from? You got to be careful.
Sitting out there patting his foot, waiting like, come on out here.
Got to be careful. Somebody said, got to be more careful. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
And so this is what, you know, we go back to Acts 21 and at verse 5. Verse 6, and he says, and saying goodbye to each other, he went aboard the ship, and they returned home. And so they could have got off the chain, but they had prayer. And they prayed first. And so they're on track. So we continue on to verse 7, and he says, we continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. And again, we're talking about this journey, the voyage. You continue. You got to go back home. You got to continue your journey. There's meaning in these verses that it was a journey, that it was a journey filled with prayer. It was a journey filled with people that encouraged them along the way. Whether it was for a day or a moment, or like she was saying last week, she would get a text to somebody or a phone call or a word to help you along your journey, to encourage you along your journey. And then we proceed to verse 8. It says, leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip and the evangelist of the seven. This was Philip, one of the teachers, one of the disciples. That Jesus taught and was a follower of Christ. He was one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Lord have mercy, Dr. G, can you imagine having four unmarried daughters who prophesy in your house? I know Philip had to be a strong man. Lord have mercy. I'm just saying. There's a whole lot going on in that house. but God had it together, and so Paul rolled up in there and had four daughters prophesying. And Philip was the fellow that welcomed him that day, and I'm sure they fellowshipped and they prophesied. And the thing about prophecy, and the Bible teaches that you can tell a true prophet is what they say comes true or not. And you have to be careful, because there's a lot of people that prophesy all the time and ain't nothing they saying coming true.
Right.
So you have to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see if you're of God, because sometimes folks are just trying to swindle you and hustle you out of whatever you have to try to get out of your pocket into their pocket, or whatever you have. And so you have to be careful that these folks that prophesy all the time, what they're saying comes true or not. And you know, that's just a basic thing that people sometimes see people prophesying and saying, calling themselves prophetess, and they get, you know, into a thing where they're manipulating the people instead of being obedient to God. A lot of times you keep your mouth closed. You don't need to say nothing.
But
a lot of times, I'm not gonna say a lot of times, but there are people that will manipulate the gospel, manipulate the word, try for their self gain. Sheila G.
And that's some of the things that we talked about in some of the earlier chapters of Acts, where the people were doing it for money, and that's why they got mad at Paul, because they was pointing them to the Lord. And that when you truly do have that gift of prophecy, it actually, because, you know, our mother had that ESP thing, and it passed down on to me, and you don't want to be really, really bold about it, because you know it you don't want to do it unless God is revealing it to you, because when God reveals it to you, you know it's of him. You almost feel unworthy. You almost feel like, okay, Lord, you want me to share this to encourage, but it's not going to make sense. But the bold, or you do it and you yield yourself unto the Lord to say, God has instructed me to do this, then you don't get all in your feelings like, well, these people don't believe a thing I said, because then you realize it's not about me. It's about what God has given me to give to you, which is different from when someone just says, well, I feel like the Lord told me. No, it's not how you feel. It's not what I feel like the Lord told you. No, you know when God is giving that to you, because it is a humbling type of thing. And you're like, really, God, for real? And you have to step out on faith. And when you share, I know a lot of it, I'll give to my husband. That's why I had to laugh when you talked about Philip having 4 unwed daughters that prophesied. I know like he's better receiving it now, but I know it used to drive Pastor G kind of crazy when I would say, well, God said this, that, and the other. He had the faith enough to receive it, but the human side of him was like, really? As he's seen things come, he'll initially say, oh, Lord, here we go again. And I'd be like, why give it to you directly, you know? So again, I'm trying to tell God what to do. But that prophecy, that vision, that thing that God gives you, if it's for real, it's very humbling. And so you don't flippantly just throw that out.
Amen. And it comes true. That's the thing of a true prophet, that it comes true. And like you said with Dr. D, when he started seeing what you were saying was coming true, that's the proof. And you know, you have to understand that. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. Because when Sheila first started with, well, the Lord told me to tell you, I mean, I've been in the ministry for so long, especially early on in, you know, my ministry, and when we would go to different churches, and, you know, folk were always coming up talking about, well, the Lord told me to speak to you and give you this word and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I learned to just, okay, all right, fine, thank you, and going about my business. But unless it comes true, you know, I don't put too much stock in it. But with Sheila G, whenever she started, well, the Lord told me to tell you. At first, I was skeptical. But then it got to be so regular. All right, what did he say this time? And the latest prayer request box. Now, logically, it didn't make sense. But I've learned that when she comes in that fashion, all right, got a box. They did what they had to do, put it in Sunday, and it was a big hit. So I've learned not to question her when she says, well, the Lord says. And like you said, if he did, it's going to come true.
Amen. Amen. And that's just so practical. And you know, I appreciate the color that you all bring. That like you said, Dr. G, early in ministry, and even now, people will come up with this stuff, and they just, you know, they're just talking, but ain't nothing coming true. you're talking. So this is good for the new Christian and the mature Christian. Is that's the sign of a true prophet? Prophecy is what they say comes true, and you have to. God will show you the track record, and God will show you, and that way you're not getting led astray. And so Paul didn't get led astray from completing his journey, and so, you know, that maybe time was getting by that fast. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
We're in a time where we have to recognize for ourselves that we have to wait on the Lord, and we have to make sure we're staying the course and be prayerful, be mindful of different things that happen, because there are people in the church that will lead you astray. And Paul stayed on his journey. He stayed his course, even visiting with the daughters that prophesied, and visiting with Philip, the evangelist, and you have to be careful who you associate with, because everyone is not on the same page or is not in the will of God, but they still talking. So you have to be careful. And it comes through staying in the word and getting that daily bread that you can discern whether it's of God or not of God. Again, Sheila, like you say, try the spirit by the spirit and make sure that it is of God. And so I think we're going to end up right there. Sheila G, I know we have time for some phone calls. We'll probably take a couple just to close out. And we're going to ask that question about just staying the course. I know it's difficult sometimes, but as you stay the course, you see the blessings of God and see his promises come true. So just ask the questions about staying the course with the Lord. So we're going to go to first caller, last four digits, 1741, 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Thank you all for a really blessed Bible study. It was very good. Prayer is so crucial. And prayer, when we pray sincere and really ask God to guide us and ask the Holy Spirit to just lead us daily, every day, he's the only one that can help us stay the course. And we just need his guidance in everything that we do. And just ask God, is this your will? Do you want me to do this? God's approval. And God don't let you know. If you have that relationship with him, that personal relationship with him, he's going to let you know. And you're going to have that listening ear where you will be able to hear him. And he will tell you the things that is right, that will be pleasing, because God is not going against his word. And so
that's right.
One thing we have to always ask God, is this what you want? Will you be pleased with this? Are you going to get the glory? Am I going to get the glory? A man going to get the glory? And so as long as we surrender and try to just ask God to help me, you know, because we can't do it alone, and we need God in everything. And prayer is so crucial, so vital. And I thank God with us having morning meditation with Jesus Prayer Line.
Yeah.
It has been a learning experience. And it has been times where sometimes we do like different, we might talk about different topics like the armor of God or faith or peace. And then sometime, maybe for about a month or maybe 3 weeks or better, we might just have praying and scriptures and praise.
Mm-hmm.
Every prayer war will do that. Sometime we get on that line, it seems like everybody is, you know, there's something wrong. You know, they're sick or they're going through something, and we say, okay, it's time that we need to pray this morning. So we'll just have prayer. We would just focus on prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to come in and strengthen us and lead us and guide us. And as we pray, as we read the scriptures and as we praise God, we get stronger, wherein we are built up, and then we can intercede for others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thank God. I praise him because it's just amazing to see how God works, how his spirit works with every woman that he puts on that line. It's just so amazing how the Holy Spirit used them. And I really do. I just see the power of God moving. You know, God is awesome. And he can use anybody who is willing and want to.
That's right.
And so I praise God for every woman. I thank him for every person that he put on that line. And even the ones that are not part of us, and we know that they are supporting us and praying, we thank God for them too. You know, we are just so grateful. It just has been a wonderful experience. And I just thank God for just allowing me to work and to be a part of that ministry, because he put it together. Everything he put together. God put the whole thing together, and I give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and we have learned a lot, and I just thank him so much for everything.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call and last, what did it, 6309, 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I understand the importance of staying the course. For me, it's once I really committed myself, when you commit yourself, you want to continue on and go further and keep on stepping. And I know a lot of challenges. I've had plenty, and I know I'm going to have plenty more before I leave here. But, you see, I believe in God, and that commitment, I committed myself to him. That means something to me. I have a relationship with him. He has done things for me that no man or the Congress or nobody could do. So I am committed to him. It's important for me to stay on this journey because this is the journey that I chose, and I'm so happy and grateful that I did.
Amen.
So, yeah, I understand the importance of staying the course. That's Amen. What that's all of it is involved in together. Once you commit yourself, because you want to, you see, because first you got to want to. If you don't want to, you ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
So you got to want it. You got to want it first. Because if you're going to want it, you're going to stay after it, and you're going to go through anything that you have to do to stay with the Lord. So, yes, I understand the importance of it. I'm so thankful that I'm on the journey. I'm awaiting, trusting, and believed in him. And I believe all the promises he got in that Bible, I believe.
Amen.
One of my
Amen.
Powerful ones, no weapon that is formed yeah. against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
So I am so thankful to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343. 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. Praise
Good
the
evening.
Lord this morning, this evening. Thank you. Oh, my God. I prayed to the Lord and I got a problem, and I say he don't listen to me, but it just surprised me when I be thinking about certain things, and it just bothers me. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just goes through my head and started ringing, and just like the phone ringing and a bell in my ear, and I hear it, and it all of a sudden it pops up, and I hear my prayer that I've been going through. And I said, the Lord is listening to me every way. The Lord is listening to me. I got a problem. And they only give it to God. And God just got a hold to it and said, let it alone. Keep quiet. Let it alone. He tells me all the time, keep quiet. Okay, I got it.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right, must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 0266. 0266, good evening. All right, must be listening in. We're going to go to 9880. 9880, good evening.
Hello.
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 Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, it's important to stay in the course with God.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's extremely important just because, you know, a lot of times throughout the week, you know, we are always just kind of going through things and dealing with life itself. And it's just really important to remember why you started this journey, you know what I mean? And I can definitely say from personal experience with everything that I've gone through and just even now as I'm trying to draw closer to God, you know, I can tell the difference within every day, you know, that from the time I'm leaving out the house, going to work, to the time I'm coming back, you know, at home. And I can definitely say that, you know, because I do have God within my life, I'm so much better off, you know. So that's my take of it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller, last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Great question. For me, it's all about consistency. I even look at my life early on, even outside of, you know, my Christian walk, when I would set a goal and try to stay the course. The second the water started to get rough or got a little tough, I would quit. I would fall off course. And then I started actually doing that, you know, in my Christian journey. You know, I would talk about staying the course and wanted to accomplish certain things as a Christian. But the second I was faced with some adversity, the second people started talking about me, the second I started to come up against any type of friction, I would fall off course, and then I would stay off course, and then it would take a long time for me to try to find my way back to it. But then when I started to break it down and just say, look, this is a lifelong commitment. This is a lifelong course.
Amen.
You don't got to try to look
Amen.
At it in such a big milestone, in such a big way, because it's easy to get discouraged. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take it one day at a time. Yeah, I'm going to fall off, but I got to just continue to work at it. And Anna Lee said it best, you know, if you decide that you're committed, you can do it. You're going to get through the adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through some things. But as long as you commit yourself and you realize, like, hey, what's the long-term game? You have to make temporary sacrifices for the long-term gain. And the long-term game is to get into the gates of heaven. But you're not going to gain
mm-hmm.
anything unless you start to make those sacrifices and you start to realize that the sacrifices are actually beneficial to you and going to help you along the way. But it definitely starts with consistency.
Right.
I think sometimes as Christians, we study so much about God and we talk so much about Jesus, we feel we got to be perfect. We feel we got to walk on water every single day, and that's just not possible. And I think when we get that out of our head and realize, like, just do your best. Just show up. Just try. The Lord knows
Amen.
What you're doing. The Lord knows your heart, and he knows your level of commitment. And if you aren't committed enough, you got to take a deep look at yourself and realize you can't blame the obstacles. You can't blame the world. You can't blame other people. It starts with you, you know, because as Christians, the second we say we're going to turn our life over to God, be prepared to go to battle. Be prepared to go to war. Be prepared to be attacked every single day. And it's not even going to be from the enemies. It's going to be attacks from people you call friends. It's going to be some attacks from people you call family. You know what I'm saying?
Stuff whatever.
Set you off guard and knock you off the course. But you got to go through some things. And while we're on this course, going through the things helps us to deal with the different journeys, because as we go through this course, it's different levels to the course. And as we accomplish certain things, we're going to realize that the terrain's going to get a little bit more difficult. But when you get to the other side, you'll look back and realize that it was worth it. But for me, it starts with being consistent, and it also starts with being having a certain level of commitment. And you got to do the work, man. You have to put the work in. The work doesn't just start when you come to the office or when you go to whatever environment it is you're going to. You got to do the work behind the scenes, and then it will start to show when it counts the most. So what we're doing now is putting the work in. What we do on Sundays
Amen.
Is putting the work in. What we
Amen.
Do on
Amen.
Wednesdays over at New Birth, or getting up extra early just to say, you know what, let me get up and go to Sunday school. That's putting the work in. And even in outside of that, if you got your own personal time in the car, in the bathroom, in your house, whatever, pick up the word. That's putting the work in, so when the tests come, when you have those obstacles come, you'll be ready because you've studied and you prepared yourself for it. But if you're not committed, you're wasting your time, and frankly, you're just talking. And we know there are a lot of people out there that talk a good game, but when it comes to actually putting that work in and being committed, it's only a small percentage of people that actually do it. And for me, I've learned, and we talked about it, I don't want to just be judged on the words that I say. I want to be judged on my works. I'm going to let my work and my actions and my faith speak for me. We can all talk and quote scripture and say all the right things, but who's actually doing it? Who's not just saying it and doing it when everybody's watching, but who's actually doing it when it's just you by yourself? And you know you got to make a right decision. It's either going to help you get closer to your goal, eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, or get you further away to where you may end up in a pit of hell, in fire and brimstone, you know? So just something just to think about. But for me, it's a daily thing that I constantly wrestle with because I'm in the flesh, but I know the process and I know the things that I have to do to make sure that I'm prepared, to make sure that I'm also committed and also consistent with what God wants me to do. Because ultimately, frankly, I'm trying to get into heaven. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm trying to get to heaven,
right.
And I'm prepared to do what's necessary to get there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Sheila G, good word tonight. Your final comment to close out briefly.
Amen. If we stay our course, we will go through it, but we're going to grow through it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another Bible study lesson. Lord, it teaches the importance of prayer, and it teaches the importance of leaning not to our own will, but to your will, and teaching the importance of us staying the course and putting our faith and trust in you. Lord, I ask that you will bless us, lead, guide, direct our paths until we meet again. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight, prayerfully. We'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.